thank you, Lord. We thank you for these words. We thank you for the promise that you have given to us, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there. We're not alone. We thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus, among us. And as we have sought to sing praise this morning, you alone are worthy of our praise. Your name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we confess, Lord Jesus, you are the Holy One, the Great One, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Christ and promised King of Israel. So Lord, now in this moment, as we pause, we ask that you would remove the distractions from our lives. And for many of us, we come this morning, we have to ask you, please forgive us of our sin in our words and in our deeds and in our actions that would keep us from fellowship with you and fellowship with others. And we pray that you might bless our time now in your word, and may you teach us by the Holy Spirit. And we pray for our friends who are here today who do not know Jesus, that maybe today would be the day when they hear your voice and they respond and they say, I'm going to follow Jesus. So have your way among us today, and we thank you again for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, find your place in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. These days we've been, as a church, talking about, as I call it, meeting Jesus and finding life. And that's what happens all through these stories in the book of John. John, now remember, I don't want to ever assume that everyone knows how the Bible's put together, but if you go to what's called the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four are called Gospels. The word Gospel means good news. So today we're talking about good news. We're talking about different stories, eyewitness stories, about how Jesus met someone and how their life was changed because they met Jesus. Now, these stories are history. They're from the past, but Jesus is still alive today. And when people come to know Jesus and meet Jesus, he can change their lives just the same. Isn't that good news this morning? Aren't you glad to know that? So that's why we're here to talk about this. And we're also here to honor Jesus. We're here to honor Jesus in word, just as we have honored him in our singing and praise, because John, this disciple, seeks to share specific stories that help us see that Jesus is God in flesh. So what we're reading about today is how God in flesh met human beings and how they were changed when they met God. That's really what this is all about. So today I want to, I'm looking around, and I believe for the most part, all of us, and sometimes we do have guests with us who have seeing impairment. Some are blind who come and have been with us through the days and still are here. But the majority of us are here seeing. Some of you are like me. I have a physical challenge. The older I get, the thicker my glasses become. So we all have eyes to see, some stronger than others, some weak, but we can see one another. You can see me and I can see you. It's also an honor that for the majority of us, we can now, I can ask you to turn as I have to John chapter 9, and you can see it. You can see the print in your Bible, and you can read it with your eyes. So this morning we go back and we look at a story. We find Jesus meeting a man who was born blind. Now, for just a moment before we read, and some of you won't want to cooperate with me, and that's okay. I'm used to it as a preacher. That's the way it works. But if you will cooperate with me, I want you to do something. I know in doing this, I'm taking a chance in what I'm asking you to do, because some of you may remain in the condition I'm about to tell you to go into. I want everyone to close your eyes, and you see now why I said that. Some of you may want to go to sleep. Just if you will cooperate with me, and the speaker's also doing it, I've got my eyes closed. I've got my eyes closed because even standing here in these lights, I'm in the dark now. The light is gone, and I'm in the dark. I want you to just for a moment, with your eyes closed in the darkness, you can't see your neighbor. You can hear my voice. You can feel people around you. You can sense things, but you can't see them. You're in the dark. I want you to imagine that you've been like this your entire life. You have never seen the sun shine. You've never seen the birds fly, the animals graze. You've never seen other people. You've never seen the beauty of people's faces and their eyes and the shape of their faces. And you've never seen your friends. You've never seen your parents. You're in the dark. You don't know how to get anywhere. You don't know how to go anywhere. You are absolutely stuck in the dark with no direction, all alone in the dark. Now, with that in mind, I'd like for you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, and let's read John chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, now remember, every word is important in your Bible. Every word. Linger on these words. As he passed by, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to the blind man's eyes. And he said to the blind man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he, the blind man, went away and washed and came back seeing. Now, if you'll go over and read with me, beginning in verse 35 in your copy of God's Word. Jesus heard that they had put him out, that is, put him out away from having the opportunity to be associated with the Jewish people in worship. And finding him, Jesus found this seeing man. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Now, I want you to read on. I do not have this verse on the screen, but I want you to read verse 40. Those of the Pharisees who were with Jesus heard these things and said to him, "We're not blind too, are we?" So Heavenly Father, this morning, bless the reading of your word and bless the time that we have here. We stand before you. We stand up in honor of the word of God. We stand up to honor the words of Jesus and the name of the Lord Jesus. So Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord and Savior. Savior of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords. And how we pray that today there would be those who are blind among us who might believe in Jesus and see for the first time, though they think they see now. And how we might learn the lessons of blindness to seeing and seeing and blindness. And help us to understand your words today. And may my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So as you find your place in John 9, I want to make four observations. It's interesting, first of all, that if you'll notice in verse number 1, before I go to these 4 points, Jesus saw something. Now, you need to be careful when you read your New Testament. You need to be careful when you read the Gospels, because these eyewitness accounts are so meticulous. Little details come out in these eyewitness accounts which remind us this is not a myth. This is not some fable. This is not something hatched up by a bunch of people in the first century trying to honor Jesus. These are eyewitness accounts. Eyewitness accounts have funny details. The little things that you miss if you're not careful. Verse 1, as he passed by. As Jesus passed by. As he's going along. He saw a man blind from birth. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. We know later, a begging blind man. A man all alone, as we practiced already, who's in the dark. He can hear, he can feel, but he can't see. He can't see, but Jesus, are you listening? Can see him. Oh, that's important for everybody in this room today. You can't see Jesus, but he can see you. You can't see him with your physical eyes, but he sees you. The Word of God, the one whose eyes look through us, judging the motives and thoughts and intents of our heart. We later learn that in the book of Hebrews. The Word of God, a living, alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The one we have to do with sees through us. He sees you today. You can't see him, he sees you. This blind beggar, born this way from birth, can't see Jesus, but Jesus sees him. And then if you go to the end of the chapter, what an irony. These Pharisees, they could all see. They see Jesus. They see him in front of them. They see him standing there. They watch him do his miracles. They listen to him and see him teach. And their words to Jesus are words, their question is actually a condemnation to themselves of their condition. They say to him, as they overhear Jesus, by the way, talking to a seeing man who's been blind, these seeing men now ask the question, verse 40, we're not blind, are we? Jesus saw a blind man. And these men who could see asked Jesus if they're blind. End of sermon, but wait a minute, I want you to get your money's worth. That's it. There's the bookends. You've got an entire church, listen, this is very important. You've got 41 verses in the Gospel of John. Every word matters, every space matters. An entire chapter given to the story of this dear poor man and these dear poor Pharisees who thought they could see but were blind and in the dark. And a man who couldn't see Jesus, but who believed and saw him. That's the condition of telling people about Jesus. You see, here's the thing. My neighbors, your neighbors, the people I associate with, the people I'm out in the world around, those that I go to work with, those that I go to school with, Many of them see with their eyes, but they're blind. They can't see Jesus. They don't understand. And when you talk about Jesus, they talk like blind people. They have no understanding. But there are some, like those of us who have been born again, we have experienced new birth. And all of a sudden, what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? We studied about that a few weeks ago, John 3:3. The one, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, listen, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John said in John chapter 1, verse 14, he's writing about himself and all the other disciples. He says, we saw his glory. In that first chapter, when they heard, two of those disciples of John the Baptist heard John the Baptist say, there's the Lamb of God, there's Jesus, there's the promised one who takes away the sin of the world. You remember, they came and followed Jesus, and you know what Jesus said? What are you seeking? And they said, are you, listen, you got to listen to me. I'm tying some things together for you. They said, we want to know where you're staying. And Jesus said, come and see. And when they came and they were with Jesus, whatever happened, they saw Jesus. Their lives were changed and they left. And Andrew goes and finds Peter, his brother, and says, we have found. That's a word that you use when you find something because you can see it. We have found the Messiah. A few chapters back, Jesus is at that well. And that woman, that Samaritan woman comes. He broke all the rules. First of all, he wasn't supposed to talk to a woman. Second of all, he's a Jew. He's not supposed to talk to a Samaritan woman. All the rules are being broken. And after it's over, you remember Jesus said to her, go in the middle of their conversation after he asked for water, talked about living water that he would give anyone who'd believe on him. And you remember then he said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband right now. He said, that's right. You've been married 5 times and you're living with the man you're with. And she was in shock. And she went to the town, and the Bible tells us that this woman says, come and see. Are you listening to the preacher? Come and see someone who's told me everything about me. Look, as he passed by, you're thinking right now, is the preacher ever going to get out of verse 1? Well, just stay with me. As he passed by, Jesus saw what the blind man couldn't see. Jesus saw the blind man, but the blind man couldn't see Jesus. That is the best way to describe those of us who are here today who have never been born again, who do not know Jesus. The religious world of our culture here in the South sometimes covers over the reality. You can be a religious Baptist but not be born again. You see, when you're born again, then you see. I want to ask you today, do you see the unseen? Do you see Jesus? Do you see? Well, let's start first of all with this. How did this man... So what happens to this man that Jesus sees who doesn't see Jesus? Number one, and I know you always think these points are very simplistic. I'm just making an observation through the text that we can apply in our own lives. Number one, a blind man hears and obeys Jesus. Oh, what's he going to say? The drama builds as he passed by. He saw a man blind from birth. Now let's skip down. Verse 6, he spits on the ground. Jesus spits on the ground. This blind man never seen the brown, red dirt. He spits on the ground. He moistens it up enough to make a bit of putty clay out of it with spit. And then this man, this blind man from birth who's lived in the darkness, he hears and he's touched by Jesus. All of a sudden there is this mud, this spittle mud put on his eyes. He feels the moisture. He feels it. And he hears these words. Do you see it here in your Bible? These simple red letter words. These are words of authority. These are words that only the Son of God God in flesh can speak, he says, to this blind man who can't see Jesus. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He does not say, now let's get this taken care of so I can teach you some truths about heaven. No. Jesus doesn't make an introduction. Jesus does not recognize or say who he is. He simply says to a blind man who couldn't see Jesus, listen, but he could hear something. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went away. He obeyed. And he washed. Now look, I wish we could just, in your mind's eye, in your holy imagination, he's had some people help him get there. He gets down and he washes in that water, washes away that clay from his face, and all of a sudden, for the first time, he sees. Now, take that along with you. He sees light. He sees what a person looks like. Some are tall, some are short, some are big, some are skinny. All the noises of them, now he sees them. He sees with his eyes for the first time. He sees the water. He sees it all. He sees it all. All of a sudden, he is taken away with the miraculous, miraculous healing of Jesus, who gives him the ability to see for the first time. Jesus saw a blind man as he passed by who couldn't see him. By the way, Jesus didn't say, go wash in the pool of Siloam, I'll go with you. No. Jesus wasn't there when he opened his eyes for the first time with sight. But we notice something secondly. And by the way, I've got to say this to you. Jesus said this in John 5:24. Whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. You have to hear. Jesus said this over and over and over and over and over. Why do we preach? Why do we teach the Word of God? Because here's what the book of Romans says. Romans 10:11. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what the world says? You got to see it to believe it. But you know what the Bible teaches us? You know what Jesus helps us to know? You've got to hear it, believe it, in order to see it. That's God's way. Nothing like the world. So that's the way you start a relationship with God. That's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why you tell your friends about Jesus. You want them to hear. You're not responsible for how they respond. You're responsible, like I am, to go like Jesus told us to do. Be my witness. Tell. Just tell it. Just tell it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. Keep saying it. Keep telling it, because people need to hear it. A blind man hears and obeys Jesus. Secondly, notice this. A seeing man tells how Jesus made him see. So we get into this long section. The majority of the section, the majority of John 9 has to do with relatives, neighbors, and religious leaders who are trying to tell a man who sees that he can't see or that he was never blind. It is the most crazy conversation. And I'm not going to spend all my time reading it. You read it on your own. It's crazy. Over and over they ask him, well, were you really blind? Yeah, pretty much. Well, we don't believe it. Well, get his parents in here. Yeah, pretty much. He's been blind his whole life. And then over and over, well, how did you see? Well, I've given you two verses out of the whole mess. Here's what they would ask over and over. How then were your eyes opened? And the man said, the man called Jesus. The man called Jesus. The man called Jesus. Oh, the Son of God, Jesus. The Word became flesh, fully God, fully man. The God-man touched his eyes with clay and told him to wash. God in flesh touched his eyes And he said to me, go to Siloam and wash. I love these words. So I went away and washed and received sight. A seeing man tells Jesus, tells others, I would like to say it this way, a seeing man tells blind people who think they see how he can see. That's really the way you tell others about Jesus. Look, you don't have to worry about all the regulations and knowing all the words and all the details. People will tell me all the time, Pastor Mike, when I know the Lord better, I'll tell somebody about Jesus. No, just tell them what Jesus has done for you. That's all you have to do. See, that's how they'll hear it. Then let the Lord do the rest. You see, when I tell others about Jesus, I honor Jesus with my life. I honor Jesus with my words. The third thing I want you to see is this. A seeing man believes in Jesus. The order here is very unusual. First, he's healed. A blind man can't see Jesus, but Jesus can see him. He hears and obeys. Listen, this is what you must do. If you want to really see, if you really want to see, you have to believe on Jesus. You have to have faith. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Mike, these are such simple things. All of us know this. Friend, we're going to honor Jesus by preaching the Bible, and this is the part we're preaching this week. Without apology. A seeing man believes in Jesus. My very point makes the point. Seeing people believe in Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus are seeing people. Here's my thing. This chapter teaches us that lots of people who think they see are blind. They think they see. They think they see in others all their problems. Oh, they see the shortcomings of others. They see what they want in life. They see the desires they have. They see a lot of things, but when you come to talk about Jesus, they don't see Jesus. These religious leaders on two occasions in their little discussion said, we don't know where this man came from, and we think he's a sinner. That's what seeing and being blind means. Rejecting and not believing in Jesus. When you go to school, there's going to be somebody who tells you, well, Jesus was just a good man, or Jesus just taught these words, or he was this, that, and the other, but they would refuse to say he is the Son of God. But we who see have confessed Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah and Promised One, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because we see. In fact, the Bible tells us that you see the unseen when you see Jesus. Now, I want to read to you one of my most favorite verses. He finds this man and he asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now remember, this is not happening like on a Hollywood set where, you know, they're filming it and then they put all the stuff in the background behind them. No, this is Jesus is not in a private room talking to this man. They're out in the middle of this temple area, dusty, noisy, people bringing all kinds of animals up there, bringing all their stuff to be offered in the temple. They got rabbis teaching all over the place. They got the religious leaders standing around the side like religious leaders can do. They kind of have a pose. Here's kind of the religious leader pose. And they're all around doing this. And in the midst of all of that, do you believe in the Son of Man? Lord, who is he that I might believe? You have both seen him. Jesus said, I've given you the privilege of seeing me with your eyes. And he is the one who talks to you. And lo and behold, verse 38, what a precious verse. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. The word worship, this Greek word, is to bow, to get below, to get on the ground. He didn't do it in private. He did it in front of all of these people. He did it in the midst of all of the noise. So you see this beautiful picture. One blind man who now sees, hugging the feet of Jesus. Do you see that, folks? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It reminds me of this wonderful verse in 1 Peter 1:8 where Peter is reminding followers of Jesus who are going through a hard time, who were scattered all over the world because of persecution. He says in 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. That's us. That's the majority of the church from the beginning. We've never seen him with our eyes, but we've seen him. You see his work. You see his ways. You see what he does. He puts himself in us by the Holy Spirit. Listen, and we begin to see what we used to not see. I love my old friend when he got saved. I've told you this story a million times. I know I need new material, but still one of the best ones. You know, he was born again, came from a rough background. He said, Pastor Mike, he said, it's unbelievable being born again, being saved. He said, the sky is bluer and the grass is greener. So when you see Jesus, you worship. But there's always those around the edge of where God is working who can't see it. And here we are again. This wonderful, wonderful story, I finish by making this simple observation. Jesus makes the blind to see. But you know what? You got to know that you're blind before you can see. So we have again Jesus saying this. Immediately, while the man is worshiping him, Jesus says, for all who wanted to see it, judgment, for judgment I came into this world so that those, oh, listen to the words of Jesus. It's here on the screen for you. It's red letter words. It's as true today in 2017 as it was in that first century. Jesus says, so that those who do not see may see. Those who do not see may see. Those who can't see me can see me. If they will hear and believe in me, they will see. And those who see may become blind. You know, Paul said it like this, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Blinded minds. Blinded minds. That's putting together what I'm trying to say. You see, the kind of sight I'm talking about is faith in Jesus. The kind of blindness I'm talking about is unbelief in Jesus. You see, when I come to Jesus and believe in Him, I surrender to Him as Lord and Savior, He becomes boss. I quit doing things I used to do. I quit saying things I used to say. I quit going places I used to go. I follow Jesus. You say, well, Pastor Mike, how can you follow Jesus? You can't see Him. The Holy Spirit now is inside of me and He shows me the way to go. He speaks to me and says, go this way. Don't do that. He puts in my heart, He causes certain things and feelings to come that I know are from God that helps me to know when I ought not to say something or do something I ought to do that He wants me to do. You see, this is how we learn. This is what happens. We gain our sight. So the religious leaders end with the question I end with today. We're not blind, are we? We're not blind, are we? Why, Jesus, we have the entire first five books of the Bible memorized. We're not blind, are we? These are the men who wore phylacteries on their arms, scripture, on their head. These are those who were deeply religious, separated themselves from all things that were worldly. These are the ones who gave their tithes but bragged about it the whole time they were doing it. These are the ones who were teachers of the law to others. We're not blind, are we? We're not blind, are we? Religion blinds. Faith in Jesus gives sight. So that's why we go back to these wonderful words as I close from the very beginning of John. John, you see, keeps reminding us in chapter 1 of what we see all the way through these stories that we find scattered through his gospel. Listen, let me just read it to you. The Bible says in verse number 12 of John chapter 1, "But as many as received him," the blind man received Jesus. The religious leaders did not. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Listen. "To those who believe in his name." That's how you see. You see by faith. You see by faith. So this morning, we weren't there the day Jesus healed this man born blind. But now we have heard the story of how the Son of God walked this earth, and as he passed by, he saw a man born blind. The man couldn't see Jesus, but he heard him and he responded to him, and he was a seeing man who was once blind, surrounded by seeing people who were all still blind because they would not see Jesus and believe on him. That's the world. That's where we live. So we go and we say to our friends, "Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Talk to him. Tell him how you feel. Jesus sees where you are. He understands and knows what you're going through. He understands your troubles." You know, it's the old hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others you're calling, do not pass me by." So we have our opportunity to tell others about Jesus. It's as simple as the blind man. "I was once blind, but now I see." Amen? That's our story. That's all we have to say. Meeting Jesus and finding life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. We've been back there now in the days where you walk the earth, Lord Jesus. And we have sensed and felt in our minds, and we thought about it with our emotions, what it was like for a blind man to see for the first time, but what it was also like when he saw Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped and believed in him. Lord, many of us remember the day when we trusted you as Lord and Savior. Many of us remember the day when we followed you by faith, and we received you, and we thank you for leading us, calling us, drawing us. And we thank you for the people who told us about someone we couldn't see, Jesus. Now, Lord, first of all, help this church, us, who are your people, to go tell people who can't see Jesus how they can see. Help us to tell. Lord, I also pray for those who might be with us this morning who really are strangers to what I'm talking about. They're still living in darkness and blindness. Their life is going nowhere. What they see, they just see the world. They just see the values of this world. They don't see your kingdom. They don't see your work. They don't see what you're about. They don't see Jesus. So, Lord, we pray this morning for them. Now, if you're here this morning with your heads bowed and you've never responded to Jesus, here's what the Bible says. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's where it starts. If you'd like to do that this morning, you want a pastor to pray with you, in just a moment we're going to stand. Just like this man was doing in public with Jesus, you got to do your business with Jesus right now. Are you here this morning? You need to join this church, or there's some other spiritual condition you need to, spiritual decision you need to make public? We want you to do it. We're going to sing, "Trust and Obey." There's no other way to be happy in Jesus.